Last week we had Paul here to recite his letter for us. This morning we had Abraham and Sarah sing for us. And now you'll have your local Brian come and speak. But I'm speaking on behalf of our God. Our series, in Advent 2018, will be the Four Fathers of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew starts off by saying, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I'm calling it the Four Fathers of Jesus because he's the son of David, he's the son of Abraham, he's the son of Joseph, and he's the son of God. Four fathers. Today, we are looking at the first of those, the son of Abraham. You see what happened there? The first candle got lit. We go back. The four fathers of Jesus, the son of Abraham. Now, being called a son of Abraham was a big deal back in the day. Today it's still a big deal, even though you might not recognize it. Because being called a son of Abraham was being called a child of God. The word son there includes both men and women. And Abraham is called the father of our faith. Abraham was the man that God chose to start to build his people. And God is still about the same project, making a people for himself. That has not changed through the ages. So to be called a son of Abraham was a big deal. It was a badge of honor. And the Israelites wore it with pride. One time, Jesus was arguing with some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they were arguing to him that they were children of Abraham. Abraham is our father, they answered. But Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. And then in verse 44, he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. You see, Jesus puts a new truth on here, a new perspective on what it means to be a child of Abraham, not just about being a physical descendant of Abraham, but of doing what Abraham did. The true child of Abraham is not the one that has the blood of Abraham in his veins. The true child of Abraham is the one who has the faith of Abraham in his heart. Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, so then, understand that those who believe are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel to Abraham ahead of time, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the believer. The true sons of Abraham are the people who do what Abraham did. And Abraham believed. He believed the promise that God gave him. And because he believed, he packed up his things, he left his home, and he followed where God was leading him. You see, you and I, we live in a different time. We were not born from the direct bloodline of Abraham. But we can be the sons and daughters of Abraham. We can be the inheritors of the promise that was given to him. Because we do it by faith. Our passage for today is Paul's writing to the Galatians from chapter 3 from verse 15. I'm reading from a New English translation. He says, brothers and sisters, I offer an example from everyday life. When a covenant has been ratified, even though it is only a human contract, no one can set it aside or add anything to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his descendant. Scripture does not say, and to the descendants, referring to many, but, and to your descendant, referring to one, who is Christ. What I'm saying is this, the law that came 430 years later does not cancel a covenant previously ratified by God so as to invalidate the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham through the promise. Why then was the law given? It was added because of transgressions, until the arrival of a descendant to whom the promise had been made. It was administered through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary is not for one party alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that was able to give life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise could be given, because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held in custody under the law, being kept as prisoners until the coming faith would be revealed. Thus, the law had become our guardian until Christ, so that we would be declared righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise to Abraham. We thank you that Jesus fulfilled that, and we thank you that that includes us now by faith. We praise you for these wonderful, wonderful truths. I pray that you make it clear to us now through your Holy Spirit. I ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. The inheritance is what Paul is talking about. Comes as a result of the promise. The promise comes, and then the inheritance is the fulfillment of the promise. The inheritance comes to the descendant. Paul makes that very clear. Descendant, one person. And Paul makes it very clear that one person is Christ. So, Paul is answering this question, why is Jesus Christ called the son of Abraham? Paul is saying, he is called the son of Abraham because he is the descendant that the scriptures speak about. He is the one. But between the promise and inheritance came the law. Almost like a placeholder, like an interim dispensation. We have the promise given to Abraham. We have the inheritance come through Jesus Christ. And in between, we have the law. Now, the point that Paul is making in this letter, right in the beginning, is he says, When a covenant has been ratified, even though it's only a human contract, no one can set it aside or add anything to it. The law that came 430 years later does not cancel a covenant previously ratified by God so as to invalidate the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham through the promise. The point he's making is very, very simple, actually. The promise came, then the law came, but the law did not change the promise. The law came 430 years later, but it was the promise, it was unchanged, through which inheritance came in Jesus Christ. So we have the promise, then we have the law, and then we have the inheritance. So the question that you are going to ask, and the question that his readers were asking, why then the law? Why not just the promise and the inheritance? Why was the law included? Well, Paul answers that, first of all, by saying there's a difference between the promise and the law. The promise, he says, is eternal. The law, he says, is temporary. The law is there to be for a specific time as an interlude between the promise and the inheritance. And so, temporary. The promise, he says, is directly from God. But the law comes through angels and an intermediary. All these scholars agree that the intermediary is referring to is Moses. The law came through Moses. The angels and Moses brought the law, but the promise came directly from God to Abraham. The third thing that Paul mentions, he says the promise gives life, but the law cannot give life. So for those three reasons, we see that the promise is far superior than the law. He makes that point very clear to them. He says that your life is going to come either through promise or through law. But it cannot come through law. And in fact, law is not as strong or as good as the promise. And then he says this. He says the law was given because of transgressions. Until the arrival of the descendant to whom the promise had been made. Transgressions until the arrival of the descendant. And we know that that is Christ. So what does he mean by transgressions? The law was added because of transgressions. In the epistle to the Romans, Paul writes, he says, though through the law comes knowledge of sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. You see, the law gives us knowledge of sin. The law makes clear to us how sinful we are. The law makes clear to us which actions are considered to be sin. The law is there to restrain people from their sins. And the law is there to make clear to people their own sins. That is the function or the role. Martin Luther says the principal point of the law is to make men not better, but worse. That is to say, it sheweth unto them their sin, that by the knowledge thereof they may be humbled, terrified, bruised, and broken, and by this means may be driven to seek grace, and so to come to that blessed seed, the Christ. You see what Luther is saying? The law bruises us, the law breaks us, the law makes us humble, fall on our knees and cry out to God, how can we be saved? We know that we are sinners, we know our own situation. It is so clear because the law is like this mirror in front of us, showing us the truth of our situation. Sometimes, you know, people can look and feel pretty good one day and think, oh, I've lost some weight. But then they go in front of the mirror and guess what? The truth is reflected right there. That's what the Lord does for us. It shows us all our evilness. It shows us our sins. It shows us our evil desires. It highlights that. And what happens then? For that should drive us to Christ. That should drive us to grace. That should drive us to plead for mercy before God. Who are the heirs of the promise? Well, the inheritance, it's, Paul says, comes to the descendant. We know that the descendant is Christ. So what was promised to Abraham is going to be inherited by Christ. But the good news for you and me is that it's not only inherited by Christ, but also to those in Christ. You see, Christ is the descendant. The whole inheritance comes to Him. But if we are in Christ, that includes you and me. That the inheritance is not just for Him, but it is through Him also for us. John Stott says, we are the spiritual seed of our father Abraham, who lived and died 4,000 years ago. For in Christ, we have become heirs of the promise which God made to him. Our religion is characterized by promise rather than by law. You see, when God gives the promise to Abraham, God says to Abraham, I will. But the law says, thou shalt not. There's a world of difference between the promise and the law. And so Paul is making very clear to you and me that the promise comes through Christ. He ends the last part of our passage by saying, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. The law was there as a guardian for that time. Even if a child is young and a child receives an inheritance, they will not get that inheritance physically until they are at a certain age. And so that time between the inheritance or the promise being spoken and the time when the inheritance or the promise is received, that time there is a guardian who is over the child to take care of the child. And Paul says that guardian was the law. There was the time when the law was over the children, even though the promises had been made, but faith had not yet come. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, for those in Christ, and those who are baptized into Christ, here's the thing, if Christ is the one, and if we are in Christ, and that means that we are receiving the promises. We are heirs. We are receiving what was promised and what has been made sure through Christ, who is the descendant, the receiver of the promises. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is hammering this point home. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is the wonderful good news for us, for you and for me, that we become heirs of the promise because we are in Christ. So you and I can be a true son of Abraham because we believe. Because we are in Christ. Because the inheritance comes to Christ. And therefore, to us.
we are the descendants according to the promise.
This is made real to us, this is made available to us through the coming of Jesus Christ. When Christ came to live on this planet with human beings, Eugene Peterson translates the in the Message, John 1, 14, and he says that when he says Christ became flesh and made his dwelling among us, he says God moved into the neighborhood. He came to live with us. So Christ came to be that descendant. Christ came to receive that inheritance, that promise that was given to Abraham. He came to receive that, and He came to share that with you and me as we are in Christ. That is the news that we have of the Christmas season. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate God becoming a human being. We celebrate Jesus Christ becoming the descendant to receive the promises that God had made. For us to receive that inheritance through Him. You see, He was linking God and us. He was the God-man. He was God and He was human. And in Himself, He was reconciling God and man, bringing us together. This is the most beautiful thing. You know what this promise is? Paul was talking to the Galatians in verse 13 and 14. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So that we might receive, and here we go, the promised Spirit through faith. The promise given to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and that many nations will be blessed through him. That promise comes true in Jesus Christ. But that promise, is that blessing that is given to him, is given content here by Paul in Galatians by saying that that promise is the Spirit of God. It is God Himself. The blessing that is given by the promise from Abraham to Christ is God Himself. The Spirit of God comes to live with you and me. The gift of Christmas is God Himself. I myself will be with you. I'm giving myself to you. This is the promise. And this promise comes through the descendant, Jesus the Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the most beautiful thing. It is the greatest gift that can ever be given when God gives Himself to be with us. That means for us many things like everlasting life. It means for us forgiveness of sins. It means for us the power, the strength of God. The Spirit of God who lives in us is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That power becomes available to you and me. That's the power for us that we can overcome sin. We can fight against our addictions. We can fight against those sins that besiege us. We can fight against those things that hold us back. We can overcome because of the power of Christ in us. Because the Spirit is the presence of the living God. Why is Jesus called the Son of Abraham? Because the promises were given to Abraham. And those promises became real through the Son, the descendant, Jesus Christ. And by faith, as we are in Christ, these promises are real to you and to me. This is the message of Christmas. Yes, we can buy gifts Yes, we can throw parties. Yes, we can have great meals and feasts. We can all kinds of stuff. But the most important thing about Christmas is that God moved into the neighborhood. That Jesus became the link between Abraham and the promises and you and me. Let us pray. Father God, as I contemplate the difference between the promise and the law, I'm so grateful for the promise. I'm so grateful because the promise is founded upon your truthfulness and upon your character. The one who says, I will, I will, I will. The law stands against me because the law is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and I know that I fall. I fall, Lord, as a sinner when the law shines its light on me. But in Christ, who is the true son of Abraham, the true descendant, who is both God and man, who reconciles us in his body, in him, I become part of the inheritance. I become an heir of the promise. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.